It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A bill to punish revenge porn has been passed by the Pennsylvania Senate. How big a problem is this issue? And could the Commonwealth bill be a model for other states to follow? I'm joined now in Studio A by City Paper reporter Charlie Deitch, whose investigation into the topic is featured in this week's cover story. Good day, Charlie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Also taking part in the conversation by phone is Holly Jacobs, revenge porn victim and founder of the organization End Revenge Porn. Holly Jacobs, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
Charlie, for people not familiar with the term, explain what revenge porn is.
Revenge porn is essentially the posting of explicit, sexually explicit photos or videos of one couple in an intimate relationship by the other partner, usually an ex-partner. Actually, it's also in Pennsylvania. It's being referred to in legislation as intimate partner harassment as well.
And how many people are victimized by this?
Holly may be better to answer this than I, but it's thousands is the best count that I've gotten through my reporting.
Holly, what kind of figures can you share with us?
I mean, the figures that I can share with you probably aren't really representative of how many people are being affected by this. But ever since I started the End Revenge Porn website in August of 2012, we've been in contact with a few thousand victims around the world. And I think there's a lot more out there that just have yet to find out that we're helping them fight against this and are scared to reach out just because this has happened to them and invaded their privacy.
Someone who is fully clothed could actually become a victim of revenge porn. These are not necessarily, in all cases, nude photos that are being used to extract revenge on somebody.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. It not only on these sites are they putting photos and videos, but they'll also put links to your Facebook page, links to your Twitter page, your personal information, phone numbers, email addresses, any number of things. I mean, I've seen stories I've heard stories, rather, about people whose addresses to victims' homes have been pasted on these sites as well. But the bill in question in Pennsylvania only refers to the explicit images and not the ancillary conduct, be it the Facebook page, the Twitter, and just kind of rude and crude insulting comments as well.
Holly, as someone who has been victimized by this, what – can you share with our listeners about exactly what happened to you?
I became a victim of this starting back in 2009. It was a month after I had broken up with an ex-boyfriend that I had dated for a few years, actually, long distance. And that's when we had shared photos, intimate photos back and forth. And a month after we broke up, he changed my Facebook profile to a nude photo of me. And then the nightmare just became worse over the years. When I started dating somebody new in 2011 is when it really got bad, because I went public with that relationship on Facebook. And the very next day, I was just getting emails and Facebook messages and Facebook requests from strangers telling me that they had seen my nude photos all over the internet. Within a few days, my pictures were up on over 200 websites. And I had to leave my job because there was information about where I was working and, you know, what days I worked and who my boss was, who my coworkers were. The photos actually got sent to my boss and coworker. And so I left my job. I had to cancel professional presentations because that information would get posted alongside these photos. And people would invite others to go and meet me in person and solicit me for sex. And eventually I had to change my name just because I was working on getting my PhD and working towards a professional occupation. I certainly couldn't have this kind of material associated with my name when I was trying to get a job. So I legally changed my name because of all this. I mean, it completely wreaks havoc on every aspect of your life. You can imagine just how psychologically damaging it can be to see some photos of you in your most intimate moments up there for the world to see. And then, like I was describing, it can affect your professional life and your personal life too. You know, it was definitely not easy to tell my parents that there were nude photos of me on the internet.
Holly, what recourse then do victims have?
That's why we are working on getting legislation passed, is because currently they don't have a lot of options, or at least not many options that they could pursue without hundreds of thousands of dollars. They can, there are possible civil statutes that apply, and people can sue their exes for posting this kind of material using invasion of privacy laws or defamation laws. But currently, criminal laws, I mean, I've experienced this myself. You can try to apply cyberstalking laws to these cases, but oftentimes law enforcement will turn you away and say, because there's not a course of conduct, because, you know, they only posted the picture once and then the reason that it spread was because everybody else spread it, then there wasn't a course of conduct present. So this isn't cyberstalking. And actually, in my case, I was able to get it picked up as a cyberstalking case just because I received emails threatening me to get in contact and the material was being posted. So there was a course of conduct. But eventually, the charges got dropped despite the fact that the police were able to connect the postings to my ex's IP address because they said, because this is just a misdemeanor charge, won't have the authority to go in and seize his computer and prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he was the one doing the posting. They told me that the charges needed to be felony charges to actually get the evidence that they needed to prosecute the case.
As we look at what the Pennsylvania legislature is trying to do about this, in your opinion, Holly, does the revenge porn bill passed by the Senate go far enough?
I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but as I was describing to you of what I experienced, unfortunately, a misdemeanor, I don't think will go far enough. It won't give the police the authority that they need to go in, seize the suspect's computer and prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they're the ones doing the posting.
So the ideal law, in your opinion, would contain what exactly?
That it would contain a felony penalty. And that's both that's to address the kind of damage that this can cause in someone's life. You know, it completely turns their life upside down and drives them to sometimes, you know, leave their job. Some people get fired from their jobs. Some people have their lives physically threatened because they have people showing up at their door in response to what they're seeing online. And so I think that a felony penalty is appropriate for that just because of how much havoc this can wreak on someone's life. And to like I said, give police the authority that they need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the suspect is the one doing the posting. But, you know, we have to take what we can get. And right now, if we're able to pass this bill and get it on the books, then we can work in the future to expand it to become a felony if possible.
We are talking about the issue of revenge porn and what states like Pennsylvania can do to put a stop to it. Our guest is a victim of revenge porn, Holly Jacobs, who is founder of the organization End Revenge Porn. We're also talking with City Paper reporter Charlie Deitch, whose investigation into the topic is featured in this week's cover story in the City Paper. And you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Charlie, what are the First Amendment hurdles here that might be impacting legislation like the kind we're seeing in Pennsylvania right now?
Well, I think that the First Amendment issue is the reason that Pennsylvania's law has followed, in one sense, California's law, which experts have told me probably isn't enforceable. And that reason is you have to have intent to harass, cause harm, and to harass an individual in order to be charged under the proposed statute. So if you're merely posting these as a means to make money, if you're posting these merely as a way to brag about, you know, sexual conquest, you know, there's a good chance that you can escape that that intent clause. And so through talking to
the idea being that I'm not this is just for my own self-gratification.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not trying to bother her. I'm not trying to bother anyone, you know, but my intent here was to make money. And so proving intent in just about any case is a difficult thing to do. So where the ACLU of Pennsylvania came down is in order to, you know, they're not pro or con, they're neutral on this. And the reason that they are neutral, which is a big deal in and of itself, that the ACLU would come with a neutral position.
Wait, so they're not trying to obstruct this legislation, but they do have concerns.
That's right. That's right. And their main concern was that in some way speech, free speech would be obstructed here. And so they, because of that, without that intent language, you would have, in the mind of the ACLU, you would have a free speech issue. And the ACLU of Pennsylvania told me that without that language, they likely would take a negative stance against this bill. So, you know, it comes down to an issue of balancing rights. I mean, we have to balance free speech rights, but we have these the rights over here of folks who have the right not to be harassed, have the right to not have their reputations damaged. And, they, you know, some of the victims that I talked to through this, that's the biggest thing they said to me is, look, I understand the right to free speech, but what free speech is this person exercising by showing nude photos of me on the internet? It's really – and why is that right more important than my right not to be, you know, harassed and have their reputations ruined by this?
Holly, what is important for the general public to know about how you and other victims are being treated? Because we're seeing in some cases that that in some ways the victim is being blamed for bringing this on themselves.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to discuss, is that telling a victim that they shouldn't have taken this photo or video in the first place, and they should have known that this would have been coming to them, is absolutely just a new form of victim blaming. It's just like telling a rape victim that they shouldn't have been wearing such a short skirt, or they shouldn't have had so much to drink. But somehow by taking this picture, by just, you know, being in an intimate relationship, trusting somebody with that kind of material and using technology to connect with them, warrants this kind of harassment. By saying that, people are just giving these perpetrators, these sexual predators, an out. And I think that they need to shift their focus to the malicious behavior that perpetrators are doing.
Well, what's interesting here and perhaps ironic is that there is an understandable and legitimate concern for the First Amendment rights of the people that are posting this material, but then it would seem to be a contradiction to then say to someone like yourself, but be careful how you express yourself. Don't dress provocatively or photograph yourself in a certain way, whatever.
Yes, but it's not like we were photographing ourselves out in public. We
right.
photographed ourselves and then we shared it with one person. We didn't share it with the intent of being distributed all over the internet for the world to see.
Holly, how does someone avoid this predicament? What advice do you have based on what you have gone through?
People need to be aware that this is happening. You know, they need to be aware that right now there are risks with taking photos like this and sharing it with somebody. No matter how much you trust them, you never know what's going to happen if that relationship goes sour and what somebody is going to do in a state of rage. So until there are laws put in place, you need to be really careful. But on the other side, people need to be fighting for their rights. This is a right to privacy. And people need to start speaking up against this and speaking up in support of putting laws in place that can protect their privacy and allow them to let their guard down and do things like this in relationships. So I invite them to visit our website, and especially if they're victims, visit our website, fill out our form showing that you're willing to testify in favor of these bills, and help us get laws on the books to protect victims.
We've been talking with Holly Jacobs, who is a revenge porn victim, and she is the founder of the organization End Revenge Porn. Also with us here in studio, City Paper reporter Charlie Deitch, whose investigation into the topic is featured in this week's cover story in the City Paper. I want to thank both of you for being with us, for certainly taking part in a very enlightening and important conversation. Charlie and Holly, thank you both for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we go from the dark side of romance to the romantic side of love with StoryCorps founder David Isay. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.